Hi, I'm Marlene. I was Faithful Little One, and I made the video last year, and I'm making it this year, and my throat's a mess right now, so I can hardly talk. But my dear brother, is running the camcorder, so I can do this interview face-to-face. This is 1996, and we are in Dangerfield State Park, in, which is kind of near Mount Pleasant in Longview, Texas. We didn't have one in Atlanta this year. We had it here in Dangerfield State Park, and it's June something.
12?
It's an airline ticket. June 16th, 17th.
Sunday.
We've been here a couple of days, and everything's running in together. This is Sam Legimian. Say hi.
Hi.
Sam, what was your Bible name in the family?
My name was Zach Zechariah.
Zechariah.
They also called me Zach Scripture Plate.
Scripture Plate.
Zach the Greek has many names.
And many names, okay. And you're from Greece?
From Greece.
Okay.
Athens, Greece.
And did you join the family in Greece?
I joined in California.
You joined in California?
1969.
In 1969, you were some of the original members?
Well, they were 100 people when I joined.
100 people. Were you just joining in Huntington Beach?
No, I joined in Berkeley, California.
In Berkeley. And then, well, tell us your story.
Well, I was a Buddhist, after being a hippie for a while, in Berkeley, and I was talking to people about Buddhism out on the street, when I met some long-haired Christians who told me about Jesus, and even though I did not believe at all, they asked me to pray anyway, which I did, thinking it was a big joke. I was laughing as I was doing it, but part of my heart was sincere. And sure enough, my whole life changed. I became a new creature. I quit smoking. And I was very excited about serving Jesus. I sort of moved in with this people, this Jesus people type group. And I was with them for about a month when the children of God came to visit us.
So they weren't, the ones that witnessed to you were not the children of God?
No, they were
originally.
Not. They were not.
Okay. So you were in this Jesus people house?
Yes.
And then the children of God came to visit?
Came to visit, and I was very impressed by their fire, their enthusiasm. Joel was there, and some of the old timers. And I liked the way they were so radical. They started the revolution for Jesus, and it really impressed me. And Joel challenged me that I had to forsake everything for Jesus, to give up everything. So the next day I went up to my boss's office. I gave him my uniform, and I said, I don't expect you to understand what I'm doing, but I have to quit right now, and I quit. And we came back after a couple of days to pick up my check, and that was the end of it. And I thought,
how old were you when this happened?
I was 24 years old. 24 years old. I'm 51 now.
One of the old bombs.
Yes.
Okay, then what happened?
Well, and I went with them, and we invaded the church somewhere in California. Some of us went to jail for that.
Raiding the church? Tell us about raiding the church.
We were wearing sackcloth and carrying big rods in our hands, ashes on our forehead, earrings, and it looked very scary. And we marched into a church, and we...
Did you arrange to go to the church first? Did you call the pastor and say,
we're
coming?
Of course not.
You just walked in.
We just walked in, and Happy Wasila, I was here earlier, walked up to the pastor, telling him he was a hypocrite, asking him why he was lying to his people. It was so shocking that one of the people in the church actually died. He's dead. He's a heart attack.
When he saw you guys.
When he saw us marching in and doing what we did. The police came, some of us were arrested. I was with the ones who were able to escape. We went to an open space, a backyard of somebody's house who was in the group. And eventually we moved down to Houston, Bear Creek Park, and at the end, after shaving our beards and cutting our hair twice, we moved to TSC, Texas Health Clinic. And I was there for about 8 months before I moved on to new places.
Okay, what was it like in the early family at TSC?
Well, when we first heard that we were going to move into a house, because we were backsliding, because we were so used to living on the road in cars and caravans. The idea of me living in a house was too much of a systemized thing to do. But we moved in there, we fixed up the place, and we were serving God
at
TSC. We were very excited. One day, David Burke walked into the dining room. There were a few of us, it was late. And he told us of a vision of someday going as far as London and places like that, spreading the gospel. And it all sounded so much like a great thing for somebody to give his life to. And it was. We were very dedicated, very sincere, and very ignorant of the true nature of David Burke, you know, the pervert he was. Because at the very same time we were at TSC, praising Jesus and singing songs to him, he was having all kinds of sexual things going on. And if my timing is correct, he was having incest with his own granddaughter right there at TSC, or right about that time frame. Granddaughter, yeah, Joanne, the daughter of John Trenger, obviously today.
So then, where did you live in the family?
Well, I moved to different homes in the States. Eventually, I went to Italy, and in Italy, the reason I was there is because we all were living in the country, because America was going to be destroyed by January 31st, 1974, according to a prophecy that David Burke had received. And when it didn't happen...
And what was that prophecy called?
The Kahutek 40 days prophecy. And when that did not happen, many people left the group. I myself left the group for 6 months. But I felt so lost out there that after 6 months I called the home again. I talked to Peggy on the phone, and she told me to go back to America and rejoin the family in New York, which I did. I joined the family, and I was I went to move to different homes again, and eventually I was sent to Greece to translate David Burke's letters into Greek.
Why did you feel so lost after you left for 6 months and you felt lost, you had to come back to the family?
That's a good question. You are so used to that kind of lifestyle, everything is almost sort of done for you. You don't have to think about anything. You get up in the morning, you follow a routine, and you don't really have to struggle about questions about paying the rent or decisions that people make every day, because you are in the army and you are like a robot, more or less. You follow orders. When you're out there, that reason, and also other reasons as well, I don't understand all the dynamics of that, but I felt very lost. If there were people out here, ex-members or church people who could give me some fellowship, some encouragement, some direction, I could have very easily stayed out. It's not really a big thing. I was not in a very bad psychological state. I was just unable to put a program in my life. And life in a cult, in some ways, it was attractive because we had something to fight and live and die for. And all of my friends, so to speak, were there. It's very hard to break away from a group like that. So eventually, I decided to go back.
And then how long were you back?
I was back for another 7 years. I left eventually in 79. By this time, the group had gotten into not only sharing sexually amongst the members in the flirty fishing, which is prostitution, but also into escort work, which meant that our dear missionary sisters were going out and working as common prostitutes in escort services. And at the same time, there was a lot of persecution in Greece against the children of God. There were front page, big picture, big pictures about the car, big articles. And I was also in Greece with my parents and their influence as well. And I don't know exactly what was the thing that triggered me to get out. But eventually, one day I was walking on the Acropolis, right next to where Paul had delivered his message to the Athenians, the Agora. As I was walking there with a small piece of paper in my hand, and I made a list of all the bad things in the group and all the good things in the group. And the good were for sure there, all the witnessing and the fellowship and the songs. It was great, it was fantastic. But the bad was so absolutely horrible that I finally figured that this can't be of God, and I left.
And then you stayed out ever since?
And I stayed out ever since, yeah.
Now, were you married in the family?
I was married in the family. We have one child together.
And
my only child.
Where is that wife and child?
Well, my wife has been living in Paris because she married another ex-member.
So she's not in the family?
But she is with the family now.
She's with the family too. Okay. What are you doing with your life since? How long have you been out of the family now?
Well, I've been out for 15 years.
What have you been doing?
And I didn't really know what to do, so I started going to school. I got 3 degrees since then in theology. I got a doctorate. And I have taught Greek in seminary, New Testament Greek. I've been a printer for a while. But the last few years I've spent them in doing research about the children of God. It is very easy to see, if you read the history, that the Church of God is, in my opinion, the worst cult that has ever existed in all of Christian history. So it is really a big issue. Even though they are not very huge in numbers, the potential of the destruction they can cause in the church is very, very big.
Now, why do you say they're the worst in history? Why do you believe that?
Because I've never encountered, even though there were some very strong, bad heresies in the days of the Gnostics, in the early days of the first century, and then there were some, it was another bad one during the 15th century, no other cult has ever sent out, no other Christian cult has sent out, you know, their missionary women to the prostitution, and has abused their own children sexually, and use horrible discipline on those who don't obey, and use every means possible to break their spirits, like they have done in winter camps.
Do you have anything that you just like to share to ex-members who might watch this tape, or to the church people who might watch this tape, or members who might watch this tape?
Well, the people who are involved in exposure of the group are labeled in a very negative way by the group, as if though suddenly, after we left the group, we become these horrible creatures. But that's not the case. I'm the same person I was in the group. I was faithfully going out, witnessing, which was passing out literature, witnessing, obeying orders. And but when I realized how bad the group was, and I realized that I need to help the victims of the group as well as to help the church people and the whole world to really know the true nature of this group, suddenly they now try to stereotype me as some kind of a negative person. But that's not true. I'm the same person, I have the same concerns. And just like before, I was dedicated in serving the group. Now I'm dedicated in exposing the group, and the reason is that my motivation is to serve Jesus. And it's very important that people become aware of the distracting nature and the heretical nature of this group.
Well, thank you. We appreciate your
interview.
God bless you, Sam.
God bless you.
God bless you.